Because it doesn't matter where you're from. Aren't you supposed to be representing everybody on the Board of Education, on the Activities Association? Let me ask that question to my good friend Nate Brown, SDSportsBuzz.com, out in Rapid City. Would you agree to that there, Mr. Brown?
Well, I'm starting to lose track of what you're saying out there after the won't, won't, won't. I'm not quite able to keep up. You lost me at won't, won't, won't.
Well, I see Sioux Falls losing out again and getting a member on the board of directors of the Activities Association.
Well, it's one of those things where I've talked to you about that, Craig, is you know, my feeling is we should have, in maybe you want to call it fair representation, and, you know, people's understanding of what's fair is different for everybody, I understand, but with Sioux Falls having obviously a lot of skin in the game, I think that that's probably something that should happen. I don't know how all the details work out and how this all happens, you know, why that hasn't happened since 2001, but I think that would probably be something that that needs to happen.
I didn't know we elected people to the board of directors of the Activities Association to only look out for their specific interests, whether you're a Class B school or a Class A school or from a certain conference. I didn't know that they are supposed to only look out for their own interests instead of everybody else across the state.
Well, and that's the thing. Here's the thing, Craig, is the old story goes that, well, Sioux Falls is, you know, they're going to get everything, they're going to have everything, they're going to win everything. That's kind of a narrative that I don't necessarily fall into. And I understand that people around the state see that differently, maybe in certain communities, certain school districts. But and I think that's why this is happening. You know what I mean? I think this is one of those, well, this is something that we can, you know, hopefully keep on our side and I don't know if that's how it's all going to pan out, but I think sooner or later you get a Sioux Falls guy in there so you guys won't have to complain anymore.
You know, we want just everything we want. You know, that's all we're in it for.
No, I know that. That's the thing. And I'm being very West careful in how much I support this sentiment.
You West River folks. I know you cover St. Thomas More Athletics. You go to a lot of Class A basketball games. Class A gets the shot clock, boys and girls, the beginning this fall. But boy, tell you what, there's been a big fight out there for some of the Class A schools that don't want it.
No, and that's the thing is here's the guy that I talked to about it extensively is Dave Hollenbeck at St. Thomas More, and we've had some open and honest conversations about it because here's the situation with Dave Hollenbeck and the style that he plays. He's got a very deliberate offense. You know, if the Cavaliers have been up on you by 8 and there's still 5 minutes to go, you can lock it in. They're going to win the game. There's just no question about it.
That was pretty exciting basketball.
Yeah. See, and then there's people like you out there going, come on, shoot it. You know, the crabby old guy in the stands like Craig saying, what is going on? And Hollenbeck saying, well, we're just winning state championships. That's what's going on. So we're being disciplined. We're trying to make sure that we take care of the ball. So that, and I thought, okay, Dave Hollenbeck's going to be a guy that is against the shot clock for the simple way of how he's won a lot of games. And he said, oh, hold on a second. I'm for the shot clock. Why? We really, really stress and focus on defense, and he is correct in that, being, you know, leading the state of South Dakota in scoring defense. They do not give up any points. They do not give up any points.
That's
so he
true.
Thinks
that's true.
As good a defense as they play, a shot clock is going to favor them, mm-hmm. not hurt them. So that was an interesting perspective. Not a lot of opposition to it from guys that I've specifically talked to. I do know the big factor is, well, it's just the cost, and they're making us do it, and that's kind of what I'm hearing. I don't know about you guys.
Well, that's what we got over here, East River. You got some folks up at Del Rapids and some other areas around here who thought that this whole thing was being pushed down their throats by the Activities Association, which is totally false because it went through all of the proper channels, from the advisory committees to the athletic directors to the board. I mean, it was voted on almost a year and a half ago And all of a sudden, some of them are complaining that it was shoved down their throats, which is totally false. It was just a simple majority of the athletic directors who said, yes, we would want the shot clock, and we're going to get it this fall.
Yeah, and that's the thing is people, you know, everybody didn't vote for it. I understand that. And you're never going to get 100% consensus on something like this.
That's correct.
I think more people are for it than against it. That was clear in the vote and a pretty substantial number. And so I think it's good. I mean, you know, my personal opinion on it is the shot clock is good. It brings in what you know, we like about basketball, so Craig doesn't get upset in the stands.
Do you think it would come to? I'm all out of whack
that was,
now.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was right before I was going to ask my question. What was it? God, what was I going to? Oh yeah. Do you think that Nate, if some of these schools that don't have it, say the Class B, if they go play Class A and they realize that you got to play by their rules and that shot clock, that maybe you could see some of these schools warm up to the idea if they're immersed in it a couple of times?
Yeah, I really do. But again, you're still going to have, Chris, guys that say, oh, the shot clock is hurting us, okay, strategically. They're going to say, we like sitting on the ball. We're not as talented as this opposing team. We're not as good offensively. So we're going to have to strategically win this game, and that means stall ball.
Oh, boy.
You know, you've seen it, though, Craig. You know that in Class B, Class A, these teams, and even in Double A, I've seen it. You know, you go back to the years of when Spearfish wasn't outstanding, and they had some games where they almost beat some really good teams because Dan Martin, former coach at Spearfish, sat on the ball and did that. So strategically, I still think you're going to have teams saying, no, this isn't needed. This is high school basketball, and we should just keep a shot clock out of here. And then the other argument is the money situation. So I don't know if you're going to have people really, really enjoy it, Chris, once they get into it. But I think the fans do enjoy it.
I agree. By the way, if a Class A school goes to a Class B school to play a basketball game, they will not have a shot clock. But if a Class B school does go to a Class A school, the shot clock will be enforced, which is a good idea. And, Nate, you know how nuts I go when we always have all these different rules for all the classes. You know, someday we have to have the shot clock in Class B, but I also understand, and the only crutch, and they're using both crutches, their only complaint is that we can't afford it. And I can totally understand that. I can totally understand
absolutely.
It. Maybe it's one of those where you give them 5 years to start saving money for it. I don't know. The vote, though, is overwhelmingly by the B advisory committee not to have it. And so that's the first part.
That's right. And I'm not a guy that says you should force teams to do it and school districts to do it. So if Class B, a majority of them don't want it, then I think we should just roll with that they don't want it. In Class A, a majority of them wanted it. Class AA got it in there years back. I mean, that's how we should just roll with this. Yep. I think, you know, I'm going to enjoy those games with the shot clock a little bit more. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And guys like Dave Hollenbeck, he's going to like it on the defensive end, and he's going to not like it on the offensive end when he's leading by 8 with 4 minutes left.
Yeah. Now if we can go to the halves, that will really make me happy there, Mr. Brown.
Is that what you want?
The halves. Yeah, I would love the halves.
Is that what you want? I love this. I love
this. I'm only asking for a few things.
I'm just wondering why you want that. Is that what happens in church league basketball for you, or what's the deal?
And then I want everybody to call their own fouls in high school. We don't need officials. We just call our own fouls. What do you think?
That might work. That is church league basketball.
You know what? Just take the ball at the top of the key and just play some 3-on-3.
Peach baskets back.
Winner gets next. All okay, right. I can see that.
What you working on for the summer there, my good friend Nate Brown of SDSportsBuzz.com?
Well, you know, I'm busy right now at the South Dakota School of Mines with the Hard Rockers, and a new athletic director just got hired out here, Joel Lucan, coming from William Jewell College in Liberty, Missouri. So that's going to be a good thing right here in town, and obviously in the summer scene, Rapid City is a pretty good baseball town, and Post 22 is rearing their head. They are not as strong as they were last year, at least in the early going.
Sure.
You can tell their bats and their pop not there offensively, but they'll be pretty salty. And again, Craig, you said the focus isn't necessarily on baseball in Sioux Falls. So get ready for post 22 to make another run.
All righty. Good. Hey, Nate, thanks for the time, pal. I really appreciate it. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Nate Brown, SDSportsBuzz.com. You can hear Nate's program tomorrow night at SDSportsBuzz.com.